Jesus Christ. Good morning, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We have been studying on a subject of discipleship. And as part of today's session, we will be covering it's the last session, power of disciple making. Last week, partly we covered the methods, the power, procedures of disciple making. We will cover the part wherever we left last week. And then we'll take up the power of disciple. Holy Father, thank you for qualifying us with partakers of the spiritual inheritance of saints of light, Lord. The inheritance that you've given us, Father, which is incorruptible, Lord, which does not fade away, Father. Thank you for giving us that, Lord. But as we're meditating, Lord, help us to give us the grace to understand each word, Father, that we spoke. Yes, Father, Spirit gives the life. Fresh profit for nothing. The words that you spoke, Lord, they give the life, Father. Lord, help us to understand each word and thought. Help us to do your thing, Lord, as in the mighty name of Lord and Savior Jesus. First week we covered, First week we covered introduction to disciple making, and the second week priority of disciple making. Partly we covered last week process and methods of disciple making. Rest of the methods we'll be covering today, and then power of disciple making. Last session, please. So New Testament methods, they talk about discipleship and gives various methods here. The first one is strategic personal contacts in person. And then communion through prayers. If any hindrance, we cannot do in person, right? Definitely we can take the second method. Communion through prayers. And then the correspondence through communicating by pen. Or we have the media now, social media. You can use anything, social website or WhatsApp. But we'll be clearly meditating what early church, early Christians, they followed and what Bible is teaching us. And then the personal companions. Like God uses as proxies. So we are companions to God, even through His, as companions, right? We can do the disciple making. First method is personal contacts. This is a very widely and also popular contact model. This is called contact model, where the discipler, we studied what is discipler, what is disciple, what is disciple making, or what is disciple disciplines. Here, in the personal contact, the discipler, he will be approaching or contacting the disciple here. It could be one-on-one or one disciple with the group in a corporate way. So here, the expectation is to turning the people into visionary and committed disciples, making other peoples. It's called the reproducers of the reproducers. Once we are disciples, we're supposed to make the disciples. They will be reproducers. They will be making other disciples like us. So they will be keep on, it's a multiplying effect here. So this could be one-on-one and one-on-with. I just want to highlight here about the Thessalonians church. It is a role model church. We know Jerusalem and Antioch churches are there. They did their part. Even the Thessalonian church, it is a role model church because once they received the gospel from Paul, first he moved to Philippi, and then there he saw the persecution, trouble, and then he moved to Thessalonica. This church, they accepted the gospel when it was in persecution state, when it was in trouble state. They accepted the gospel, and even in his absence, he was not there. After Thessalonica, he moved to Berea, and then he moved to Athens. But even in his absence, the way they are spreading the good news, the gospel to the surrounding area, Macedonia, Achaia, he came to know from Timothy. So since he just spent very few months with the Thessalonica church, he encouraged and he nurtured them. After that, right, he sent Timothy there. So in the letter, he says in the first Thessalonians letter, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. He was very much longing to see the Thessalonians believers there. It shows. He spent some time there, and then he could not spend more time there. But anyways, through letters, he was encouraging and doing the discipleship there. This method exclusively our Lord Jesus, he used this model. Mark 3:14, it says, he appointed 12 that they should be with him. Most of the time, 3.5 years, all the apostles, 11 apostles, they were with him. They spent and they saw what our Lord Jesus did. However, exclusively we'll be touching after our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, how he discipled Timothy. And then with red highlight on Paul used this model, contact model, personal contact model, Timothy, and Timothy, how he deposited, how he invested the same methodology to the faithful men that we'll be studying today's session. And then we'll take the power of discipleship. Peter also used with the John Mark and others. Barnabas also used this model of Paul. Paul, after he encountered, of course, he spent 3 years in Saudi Arabia, and then he was under Barnabas, learning and finding out all the things. After that, he went to Jerusalem. But however, Barnabas, how he discipled Paul in the initial stage, that also will not be discussing about that. Just I want to know that what model they follow. And then Timothy, how he transferred that process to the faithful men. Aquila, Priscilla also used the same method. And then they discipled the Apollos. Here, Paul used especially this method. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here the word commit, the synonymous word, the banker word, is called a deposit or invest. Normally when we deposit in the bank, what we get dividend or we get the interest. So same thing here, that is the word, that is a banker word, but whatever Paul, he is committed to Timothy. What was telling, thou has heard of me about Paul. What things, those things, here we can see in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou has fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So here if you see Timothy, he spent time with Paul. He saw what Paul had did, all his doctrines, his life, very transparent. Whatever the persecutions he underwent, Timothy, he very well he knows. There is pure transference between Timothy and Paul here. So from that right, since he is in touch, he is in his presence, definitely he come to know a lot of things. There is a proverb in my mother tongue, Telugu. If you spend 6 months with your friend, you will be like your, you will be learning from him and you, whatever the things he is doing, right? Automatically, you can get the same. Same thing with him and with me principle here. Since he saw everything Paul is undergone, how he is modeled him, how he is monitoring everything, right? Timothy learned from him. He is now equipped. He is fully furnished and he is fully trained. So what he committed, Paul, he committed to Timothy here. So the same thing, right? He is transferring the same commit. He is transferring to the faithful men. The Bible says, after identifying who are able to teach others also, the qualified people, the same thing he is transferring to the second and third generation spiritual leadership. Just one question here. Can you imagine anybody making lengthy trip with Paul and not being changed by it? He will not keep quiet. The conversation, everything, right? If you spend 5 minutes or 6 months or whatever it may be, I'm sure he'll be become like Paul. Whatever the acts he's doing, whatever the things, the way how he's thinking, the way how the lifestyle he led, everything, right? We will be like Paul. That's why with that boldness he's saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. No one says after our Lord Jesus Christ. So just imagine. It's really challenging if we are spending even in our fellowship or in our offices or in our neighborhood, even in our family. How is our conversation? If we are spending some time, is it edifiable or is it nurturing to them? Or is it leading them into the spiritual directions? So same thing, right? He did. All he did with Timothy, and Timothy transferred to the faithful man. So same thing, the chain process, it keep going there. Jesus also, our Lord Jesus, he ordained all the 12 people, they should be with him always. That's why John, he writes, in the 1 John 1:1, whatever I heard, whatever I saw, whatever we touched, everything we are writing to you. Because they experienced it. So that's the reason with that confidence, they are transferring that, they are committing, they are investing. The problem here in United States is they're ready to give money, but not their time. If you invest time, if you spend with you the first believer who is young in Christian spiritual while they're growing up, right? If you spend time, if you invest time, you can teach a lot of them. You can guide them in so many areas. So the problem, right, nobody wants to give the time here. But the model what early church, early Christians, they followed is the contact model, the person, most of the time, right, they'll be fellowshipping. They'll be discussing and talking about Jesus, what he did and what he taught. So those things, right, definitely it helps us to mature spiritually. So that is the contact model, how Paul transferred to Timothy and to the faithful men. The here problem, if you spend time, the impact will be more. So the personal contact, right? Yes, if somebody is speaking from here, from the pulpit, right? Yes, people they listen, but the efficiency, the what we call the productivity, it will be more if you spend time in the smaller groups. Because you can spend time and then can ensure that in the right direction or not. That is the discipleship. True disciple making is like produces like the how the disciples, even the disciple also, he's going to be like the disciple. Like the master, the way how he is. And then Jesus said in Luke 6:14, our Lord Jesus, he mentioned, when the process is completed, the disciple also, he look like his master, his teacher. It's a two-way street. It's not only one way, even the disciple also, he is learning. Example, if you take Dr. Luke, he's basically by profession, he's doctor. So when you see Bible right here, he mentions Paul writes body of Christ. These are all medical terms. So that he, when he was conversing and he was discipling, right, Paul in Taos, so he learned from the Luke, right, he learned those words and he used in the Bible. So not only that, even Paul, Titus, he was comforting, reciprocating Paul there. So when he was not there, after he came back with Titus, in the 2 Corinthians 2nd chapter and 7th chapter, it says, Titus, he was comforting Paul. So it's a mutual, it's a two-way communication, not the one-way. So most of the stuff, it is coming from the disciple to disciple, but we can learn even from, it's a co-learning. Together we will be learning and growing in Lord. And then building disciples requires a transfer of massive things, life-dominating truths. I just mentioned here, very high level here, some of the wise disciple Bible scholars, what they mentioned, five stages. The modeling stage, when it is in the modeling stage, the disciple, he will be ministering and disciples, they will be watching how they are ministering. And then in the mentoring stage, I teach them, disciples, they teach them, we learn together and we minister together. And then monitoring stage where discipler, he will be watching. So they will be doing all the things. The mobilizing stage, take the responsibility by the disciples. They will be moving, he will be moving in the background. Nobody seeing, but he will be, the disciples, they will be in the front row. And they will be operating. They will be watching closely how they are doing. Disciple to function independently both. First and second means modeling stage and mentoring stage. The last one is very, very important. Multiple stage. You do it with someone else. Same thing, whatever he learned from the disciples, they will be doing it with someone else. They will be turning into disciples. The process, it will be multi-generational. Like how, from the disciples, how Barnabas, he became disciples. Barnabas, Paul also, he... Then you could see our Lord Jesus Christ trained disciples, discipled Barnabas, Barnabas Paul. So four generations there itself. It is a multiplying stage. It should not stop there itself. It should not stop in Jerusalem. It should go to the next Samaria, Judea, uttermost, all the parts of the, it's a global impact. Somebody asked, why did you put in the first screen that globe? Because the discipleship is a global impact, a world impact. Across the globe, it has to glow on. God desires everyone to come to the saving knowledge of him. He did not want anybody to perish. Everyone to come to him and to know his knowledge of him. And then John 5:35 says, John the Baptist called burning and shining lamp here. So when you ignite others, right, you will be burning. Ignite other candles as you want, as you are burning. No Christian can shine, truly communicate Christ without burning. There will be sacrifices. We have to spend our time. Right, spend money also, then you will be burning at the same time, right? You will be igniting other disciples there. So there is a famous quote from Jim Elliot. He says, am I flammable? Am I combustible? Oh God, save me from the dread asbestos of medical living. So this is genuinely that kind of passion, desire he was having that made him to go to the other nations here. And then the second one is personal communion. When Paul could not go in person to the Thessalonian church, he uses this powerful tool, using this tool called prayer. We give thanks to God always for you all. He's remembering the people in the Thessalonica church. Every person died, he is remembering and praying, mentioning the way how he is there doing the work, gospel work there, with the faith, work by faith, laboring by with the love, they're doing that laboring work. And then they have also the patience of hope, everything, right? He's remembering and thanking God the way how they are executing the gospel work there. Paul was celebrating the great work of the Holy Spirit had done in their hearts during his stay in Thessalonica church. I just want to read this 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you. We can see the power of the Holy Spirit God, how that made, that convicted the Thessalonian church, and then they made them to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, redemptive word. And then the prayer, not only about the thanksgiving here, he's praying for the enlightenment, Ephesian church. We already studied, meditated on the Pauline prayers. Paul prays for the enlightenment of the Ephesian church here in Ephesians 1:15, 3:14 of Ephesians, it says, enablement of Ephesian church disciples, Philippians, but even for the Philippians believers, praying great prayer for the enlargement of the beloved Philippians disciples. So one more thing here about Peter, Simon Peter. This is a prayer for the protecting and perfecting of the disciples. He will be completely taking care of the disciples spiritually, not economical other things, spiritually. So here, Lord Jesus is praying for Simon. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have written to me, strengthen your brother. Here, how he prayed for the Peter we are seeing here, that gives the protection, and also they will become like master. And then the personal correspondence, that could be by pen. Since they used pen, I wanted to highlight only pen, especially from Luke and Acts. If you see the New Testament, verses-wise, 70% of the verses related to the personal letters. If you take Luke is nothing but Dr. Luke. He's writing this certain personal document to the Theophilus. The way how he mentioned is, most excellent Theophilus, because he was a nobleman in Greek, not converted, not believed in Lord Jesus Christ. Since he was not going, he's honoring and he's giving the respect to the Theophilus and writing that letter. What he's writing means, whatever our Lord Jesus, he did, whatever he taught when he was here, he was writing in the Luke. That is a personal letter. And then if you take Philemon, that is also a personal letter from Paul to Philemon about Onesimus. So Acts, if you take Acts, right, that is a second letter after. Looks like Theophilus is now believed. He converted. So he's encouraging whatever he believed, right? Next thing, whatever the Acts done by the, did by the apostles, he was writing. That is also a personal letter. There he never mentioned in Acts 1:3, it says just, O Theophilus, because he is now co-brother. So he's writing and encouraging and discipling. Luke is discipling here Theophilus by writing all the letters, by writing all the Acts, whatever they did by the Peter and Paul and other disciples. And just contemporary thing, one thing here I want to mention about John R.W. Stott. We all know Cross of the Christ, very famous book. I highly recommend if you want to read it, very, very good book, and I'm sure it will nurture you. So Eric Nash here is a disciple, and John Stott is a disciple. The writings through letters, right, he used to encourage him, disciple him through the letters, by rebuking him. It's a very straightforward, and the moment John R. Stott, he sees the letter from Eric Nash, he prays before opening that personal letter, because he knows when he opens the letter, it will be full of rebuking, full of discipline. So that made, it produced a very great, he writes a lot of, he written a lot of books there by John R.W. So that kind of discipleship we can do by using the correspondence. Now we have social media, we can use WhatsApp, or we can use website or whatever. There are so many channels, so we can make use of that. Earlier days, since they have only pen, they used the pen. And then the last method is personal companions by proxies. If you take Antioch, whatever Jesus followed, literally they followed. So that's why they called disciples Christians there. They are like little Christ. Clearly, right, they reflected the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the way how he built the 12 men when they arrived, here companions means he says, "Lo, I am with you always." It's nothing but when we go to some location, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming with us. He is with us. He is moving with us, living with us. Also, he is speaking along with us. He is acting with us. So when we are doing it, nothing, since he is indwelling in us, so he is doing. So we are just like proxies there. So that way also we can do the discipleship. That is about the methods of discipleship. And then coming back to the power of disciple making, his last word, our Lord Jesus Christ, before ascending to heaven, he spoke these last words from Acts 1:8. Dr. Luke writes to Theophilus about, he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. There are so many hidden things in these single words. It is the last word. Normally, our fathers are our very dear ones. When they speak or they tell something, if they those words are last of them, right, we give respect and we ensure we are doing those last words. So since these last words before ascending, right, our Lord Jesus Christ's last word, we have to respect them. We have to show obedience, do his will here. So there are five hidden things here in these words wanted to highlight. I put in a bold letter, he, power, Holy Ghost, he, witnesses, and then it is about the areas. First, if you take, first of all, this Great Commission mentioned in all the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then even in the Acts 1, right, that is a narrative, it's mentioned here also. I just mentioned the verses here, Matthew 28, 18, 20, we all know about this. Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, 27, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20, 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is Acts 1, 8. It is a continuation of the gospel narratives. We already read that one. The continuation of the gospel narratives and also books of Acts, if you take, we can divide into three segments, 1 to 7 chapters, 8 to 12, 13 to 28. We are not going to touch that. But first segment, it talks about early church, how they continued the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 1, 1, it says, whatever Jesus, he did and he taught. So they carry forwarded the our Lord Jesus Christ were there. In the second part, gospel progressing, not only Jerusalem, it went to the advanced next level, the Judea, Samaria, it was expanding. And then the last part is to the ends of the earth. The strategy, the first from the Acts 1:8, the single words, if you take, the strategy followed here is, it mentions witness. The original Greek word, it is nothing but martyria. I just put the lexicon here, Greek, what it says, martyria. English word, if you translate it, is martyrs. It's nothing but martyrs means the risk, the life and death issue, risk-taking lifestyle here. Martyr witness is a life and death proposition. Martyr, the word martyrs, believe me or not, in Book of Acts alone, it mentioned more than 30 times. That is the importance behind that word witnesses. And it's all, not only that, it is one of the keynotes in the group. It says, it is risk style, not the safety first style. This is talking with the apostles, to the disciples. So the first principle of Christian discipleship must be like Luke 19:23. Whoever desires to come after me, they have to deny himself, take the cross, they follow me daily. We are denying in the sense we will have confusion. What is denying? Denying means just imagine what Peter spoke. When the servant girl, when she approached him and asked, do you know the Jesus of Galilee? What he said, you know, I never heard of that man. I don't know him. So your action, your thinking, your attitude must be like that. Denying means I don't have it myself. You have to sacrifice. all the lust of the eyes, desires of the flesh, pride of life. Denying, when we deny ourselves, right, then we can do that kind of lifestyle, lifestyle here. This is very, very important, denying ourselves after the discipleship. And then our Lord Jesus, he says, whosoever will save their life, nothing but protecting or self-trusting, whoever, if you believe on your own, defend or preserve, they'll be losing their life. But whosoever will lose their life for my sake shall find it. The first clause, whoever save means here, it's a safety first. Me, about everything about me, me center. Save myself at all costs, whatever it is. So we will give high priority to ourselves, trusting on us instead of Lord. There is a second segment, he says, it is investing, depositing, committing, self-disinterested, other-centered, neighbor-centered, other-building, give all unto death lifestyle. I wanted to highlight two stories here. What is give all unto death? It's a Christ-consumed lifestyle. Missionary spokesperson, his name Robert Wilder, once he visited a college, Hope College in Michigan. When he was speaking there, he was giving one message by putting a large India map there, and just adjacent to that large map, he put a metronome. Metronome is nothing but tick, tick, a clock which moves very slow. So I don't know the time interval wise, it periodically it moves. He says, the moment when it gives it, next tick, one soul in India, that soul never ever heard of the name Jesus Christ, that dying. So that is the very serious issue. He was telling on one person, his name, Samuel Humer. He's a very young Christian senior in that class, Hope College, Bible College. Heard that, and then he got that desire in his heart. He prayed, Lord, give me the calling and send me to the hardest spot in the world. And then God sent him to where he Bahrain, which is the Persian Gulf area, Muslim country, Islamic government ruling there. He went along with his wife, 2 daughters, 4 years and 7 years daughter there. He established his house there. He printed the gospel tracts and started distributing the tracts without the permission of the local government, Islamic government. What happened, you know, after 1 week, because of the oppression of heat, both his daughters, they got died. 4 years and 7 years daughters, they got died there. And then when he appealed the Islamic government, they said, no, if you bury your daughters there, the land, the soil, it will get contaminated. We are not allowing to bury them. He reappealed, and somehow they come down and they give him the permission, but you have to dig the graves on your own. Then he started digging and he buried his daughters. Then he put the sign there. What is the land that was slain to receive riches? Same person, he did not come back here to Michigan. He was there and continued the gospel work there. Then second story I want to highlight, it's not story, it's all the real incidents, how they live. Give all unto death lifestyle here. Cameroon missionaries, 70 people, they went to Cameroon, South Africa. 68 people after 1.5 years, they all got martyred there. You know their mind mentality, their lifestyle, their attitude in their mind, they carried their own coffins along with them because they know they're not going to come back. Out of 70, 68 got died. That is the thing, when we use our life for Christ's sake, that is a different thing. He says very clearly, discipleship is nothing but investing, the self disinterested, trusting in the Lord, other building and give all unto death lifestyle. That is the strategy mentioned in the Acts 1:8 about the witness. Witness is nothing but martyrs. And the second point here is source, which says, we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, we shall be witnesses unto me. He means you. You means it's a plural number here. The commission is given to the whole body of Christ and is fulfilled by each member. Church have apostles, prophets, evangelists, Bible teachers, pastors. All this is a commission given to the body of Christ here. And then it is you. The 1:8, Acts 1:8, it spoke with the apostles there. So the source is not angels or superheroes, because angels, they did not experience the salvation. They can explain very well, better than us. They have more power than us. They can do When angel appeared to Cornelius, right, he says, angel says, send a person to Peter and request him to come to there to give the gospel. They themselves, they can do angels, but angels, they are not authorized, they are not given permission to do that. So that is one thing. Also, they are not superheroes. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will become superheroes. Next slides, I'm going to explain how it is. And then, remember this word, do not drunk with wine, very in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I will touch base once again this one. So here the source is nothing but we only, apostles, and then it went to Jerusalem church, Antioch, Samaria, and now we are here. So it is, source is nothing but we only to advance the gospel. And then subject here is about our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he shall be witness unto me. That is about Lord Jesus Christ. The focus must be on Christ. Our witness is not focused on a church, or a denomination, or a creed, or doctrine, or a system. Must be on Christ, how he came down and redeemed us. That should be our focal point, subject. And then the third point is scope. Scope, we know. It says, he shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It is near nothing but first in our family. Ensure near people. That is a first assignment. But after ensuring, right, then we can expand our scope there. Neighboring people, nothing but Judea. This is just I'm giving for the understanding purpose. And then we can go to the neighborhoods, neglected people, Samaria there. And then we can expand still next to DFW area. So whatever it is, so it goes in the ripple effect, you know, right? When I put a stone, the way how the ripples, waves goes, should be expanded. The scope is increasing day to day or the time we are spending. And then the main thing, secret here, I'm taking 2 more minutes here. Please forgive me for that. And then the secret here, the key point here is he shall receive power. He said, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I wanted to use instead of Holy Spirit, the KJV version, it says Holy Ghost. When it come upon you, you will get that power. The Greek word uses dynamis here. It's nothing but normal people, they translate into dynamite. But remember, dynamite word they discovered and they introduced in 1866 by Alfred Nobel. So it was there before that. When you imagine dynamite, we think that we have explosion, some kind of explosion, explosive environment here. No, it is not going to be the room experience. It is dynamis means it is the power where the Holy Spirit God, he takes control. He will be showing that impact. So it is not going to be boom experience like dynamite. So please do not get confused there with the word dynamite. The dunamis here. So the power here, what it does is, from the Acts 1:8, it says, when we have that power, it transforms our life, character information. So basically, Holy Spirit God, he convicts us from the world of sin, and then the judgment of sin. He convicts, that makes us to get transformed, to get our character, our thinking, our attitude, our intentions, our motives, right? Primarily, they will get changed. If a Christian, if his life is transformed, his family will be transformed. His society, his neighborhood, wherever he is there, it will get transformed. His city, his state, his country, everything. So that is the power of the Christian, the character, right? That does by the Holy Spirit, God, the conviction. So he convicts the sin and we will be confessing and then believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe that, right, complete transformation will be the true transformation that is. And then it illuminates us, the power of the Holy Spirit God mentioned in Acts 1:8, it even illuminates us. I mentioned here John 16:13-16, here it says, he will guide you, Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth, that kind of illumination it gives, and then the communication. You know, Peter, when the servant girl, when she approached, he says, I do not know, right? The same Peter, after they received the Holy Spirit God in front of the synagogue, Sanhedrin, he says, he's boldly preaching about our Lord Jesus Christ. That is kind of the power it will come. We need not to think about how we can speak on God. He gives the power how to speak and how to interact with the unsaved souls. That kind of power, right? When you have that, when Holy Spirit God comes upon us, we will have the communication power. And then the steady action is nothing but world impact. Not only our family, our neighbors, our city, it goes beyond that, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Always remember that he is always low and with you always, till the end of the world, till end of the age. So summary is here nothing but Great Commission was never given just to be studied and forget. It is a plan of action by the believer, by the disciple. And then remember always this Acts 1:8, how the witnesses they acted. That should be our foundation. And then earlier, before telephones or mobile phones, televisions and telethons were there, our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did know, the methodology, what he followed is tell a person, contact him, approach him, tell about that good news about the kingdom of God. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ did till the last moment? He was speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Till that moment, right, he was speaking of the kingdom of God, and then he ascended. So that is not a word. I'm telling it from the Acts first chapter, first few verses. So the methodology what we have to take is tell a person, make a time, squeeze your time. And then you are busy. Yes, I am also busy. Everybody is busy. Somehow we need to speak and we have to go and tell a person about our Lord Jesus Christ and then make a disciples. Will you make yourself available at each step of the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Think about that. Pray for it. And then take the marching orders what our Lord has given. May his name be glorified. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this marching order, Lord. Equip us and enable us, Father. Without a help, we are zeros, Father. We cannot do anything, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, who is indwelling in us and giving us the power to go out and make disciples, Father. Help us to reach many unsaved souls here in the DFW area, Father. Thank you for putting us here, Lord. As we are departing here, Father, Lord, help us to reflect all your attributes with love, kindness, and Lord, compassion towards other, Father. Lord, help us to grow in unity in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, Father. Lord, also, Lord, help us to grow spiritually, Father, to know more and more about you and like how you did, Father. Lord, help us to go out and speak the things related to the kingdom of God, Father. Enable us and strengthen us, Father, till we come back, Lord. Keep your presence with us and bless each brother, sister, and child of ELBC, Father. Thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives, and we give you all the praise and honor. And submit this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.